Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in the New Testament comes after all of those books that start with a T. Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus. Chapter 12, and we'll be reading the last half of that chapter, beginning with verse 14. Beginning with verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches a mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I'm trembling with fear." But you've come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Lord, make your word live for us today. Speak to us and keep me out of the way of whatever you want to communicate. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. It is entirely possible that after the last 4.5 months together, there are some of you here this morning that are wondering right now, what on earth is Malcolm doing in the New Testament? Well, I want you to see that I do know that there actually is a New Testament. And I have discovered it. And it's good. What we're doing there really is picking up right where we left off last week in Exodus 19 with Moses and the Israelites at Mount Sinai. They had come there, you will remember, to meet with God. A meeting that required embracing his holiness. And so this morning we come to the book of Hebrews, a letter that was written to Jewish believers, with a theme of demonstrating the superiority of Jesus Christ. We get to chapter 12, and the writer of Hebrews is kind of winding things up. And as he does, he makes this startling, perhaps troubling, statement in verse 14. Be holy, he says. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's kind of a startling thing to say. I want to unpack that with you just a little bit this morning. And as we do, we'll be building and applying what we were looking at last week as well. Sometimes it's a little confusing when we deal with Scripture because we read things in Scripture as we read in verse 14 of Hebrews 12, be holy. And then in other places we read that we have been made holy. And sometimes it can be confusing, you know, which is it? Have we been made holy? Or do we have to be holy? And the answer is that it's a both and. There's a verse in, a couple of verses in 1 Peter, where Peter makes the same point. He says, just as you, he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. When Jesus Christ saved me, I was given holiness. Now, that doesn't mean I always acted holy. Oh, I hear that affirming laugh from the front pew. Thank you. That was perfect timing. Absolutely perfect. It's so true. It is so true. Positionally, I was made holy. That is, I was set apart for God. That's what holiness is all about. To be holy is to be set apart. To be sanctified. Well, Christians have been arguing for centuries about whether this sanctification thing happens at a point in time or over a stretch of time. And the answer is yes. When I became a Christian, I was made holy. And then God encouraged me to act like it. Oh, how old was I? Young enough to... Young enough that a lot of the unholiness wouldn't have shown. I was blessed to have accepted Jesus as a child. Young child. Led to Christ by my mother. Along the way, God has led me through a process of discovering what that initial commitment means. And with each step of the way, the commitment deepens. As he who called you is holy, so be holy. Those verses set before us the reason that God tells us to be holy. It's not just so he can pull out a whip and beat us up because we're not holy. It is so that we can enjoy a relationship with him because he is holy. And if he is holy and I am not holy, my unholiness is going to get in the way of that relationship. I know that both as theory and practice. Let's add another verse or two to this. If you back up a chapter or two in Hebrews, to Hebrews 10, verse 10 says, "We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Okay? We have been made holy once for all. A few verses further down, verse 14, "By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who," notice the tense, "are being made holy." So there it is. I have been made holy, and I am being made holy. Both are true. God sees me as holy in Jesus Christ. I am called to live as one who is holy. And the reason I need to do that is so that I can enjoy a relationship with the Lord who is holy and who is not going to do anything about his holiness to accommodate my unholiness. God's not going to make himself unholy so that he can fellowship with me. He invites me to be holy so I can enjoy fellowship with him. What does that look like? This being holy stuff. This being set apart. What does it actually look like? As we look at this passage, we'll look a little bit at the call to holiness, the context in which that plays out, and the commitment to holiness. So verse 14, the call. "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Make every effort to live at peace. One of the things that living a holy life looks like, one of the things that I am called to, if I am to live a holy life, is to make every effort to live in peace with all men. If you look around yourself in the world today, this might seem like a pretty unpopular thing, because there aren't a whole lot of people actually doing that, living at peace with one another. And we live in a region of the world and a region of the country where, on top of that difficulty, we value highly our own independence, our own self-reliance, to the point that sometimes we really don't care about what's going on with the other guy. We're called to seek peace. That is true in all of your relationships. It's true in your home. It's true in your marriage, those of you who are married. It's true in your family. It's true in your workplace. It is true at your school. It is true wherever you find yourself. You are called to be a seeker of peace. Called to seek peace. Kim, is the PowerPoint available? There we are. Second, verse 15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. I am called to find grace. It's easy to miss. Easy to miss. Do you look for God's grace day by day? Do you look for opportunities to see God pouring into your life that which you don't deserve? Or even sprinkling into your life that which you don't deserve? We had a lot of fun in Generations this morning sharing some of the ways that God has poured or sprinkled grace into our lives. I'm called to notice that, to not miss it, and to avail myself of God's grace. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I'm called to protect roots. Bitter roots. Run across a bitter root. When you do, it's not pleasant, be it in you or somebody else. Sometimes we nurture bitterness and we protect the wrong roots. Doing so is unholy. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And I'm called to control my appetites. Verse 16, see that no one's sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. The writer to Hebrews gives us two illustrations. Sexual immorality and the example of Esau, who was so hungry that he was willing to sell his birthright to his brother Jacob. Am I controlled by my appetites or am I controlled by the Spirit of God? I need to guard those appetites. The appetites are good. There's a reason God let you be hungry sometimes. It reminds you to eat. There's a reason God created sex and it was His idea. It's a good thing. But guard the appetites, so those appetites are used appropriately. That's part of living a holy life. Look at the context in which this works out. Verse 18. The writer to Hebrews harkens back to the scene we looked at last Sunday of the Israelites at Mount Sinai. And there's this visual description as he tells us that we are not at Sinai. Be glad you're not trying to work out what it means to live a holy life with the Israelites at Mount Sinai. It's a whole lot better for you. For them, Listen to the list. You've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that's burning with fire. To darkness, gloom, and storm. To a trumpet blast. Or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. Fear. Now, fear can drive you to holiness, I suppose. You're not at Mount Sinai. You are instead at Mount Zion, a spiritual Mount Zion, if you will. And the writer to Hebrews makes it very clear he's not talking about the physical Mount Zion. He says, you come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Here's the environment in which you're supposed to be working out that holiness. The city of the living God. I think I like that. Where God is at home. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You know what the proper role of those angels is, don't you? They are, Scripture says, ministering spirits. Servants. Of us, as well as the Lord. You've come to the church of the firstborn. Don't get that confused with the name of a couple of cults. You come to the church. You've come to the assembly of people who love the Lord. Those whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men. You've come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. And there's almost a glance back there to the previous chapter, Hebrews 11, of this great hall of faith, examples of Old Testament faith. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The context in which you work out your holiness is a context of the church of Jesus Christ. Those who have been redeemed by his blood. You see, we don't come to his presence, into his presence, blown away with fear because we are unworthy. We come at his invitation because he has made it possible. He has opened the door for us and invited us. He has given us holiness. The trick is we've got to act like it. That's the hard part. So if I'm going to do that, what about a commitment to holiness? Verse 25 says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? You've been invited to holiness by God himself. Isn't it a serious thing to turn down that invitation? You see, there's actually a decision to be made. See to it that you don't refuse an invitation to a kingdom that is unshakable. Once more, he says, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Going to get rid of the stuff that can be shaken. And what will remain is what can't be shaken. And that, he says, is the kingdom to which I'm inviting you. A kingdom which cannot be shaken. An unshakable kingdom. Are you part of an unshakable kingdom, or can yours be shaken? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. We're thanking the King. Thanking the King. Brought into the kingdom and thanking the King. That's not a bad thing. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. And we are worshiping. The word the writer to Hebrews uses there for worship can also be translated service. And there's the idea here of worshiping God, not so much with showing up at church and singing great worship songs. The idea here is worshiping God by using what He has given us to serve Him. By putting into action our giftedness. I'm reminded again of a fellow teaching colleague that a number of years ago stretched across the front of his classroom a large banner that said, "Every act, an act of worship." And that's the sense here. We worship God by what we do, by what we do with the gifts He's given us. And we do it with reverence and awe. You see, we may not be at Mount Sinai, but it turns out that the God of Mount Sinai is also the God of Mount Zion, and the God of heaven, and the God we worship. And guess what, folks? He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. That's why the writer to Hebrews reminds those Jewish listeners, our God is a consuming fire. You got to take Him seriously. Got to take Him seriously. He hasn't changed. I guess that's why we have to, if we want to accept His invitation. This call to holiness, here's the thing about it. You can't pull it off by yourself, and nor can I. We need help. Fulfilling that call is possible only because He has made us holy and therefore invites us to be holy. To be holy so that you can enjoy the relationship with Him that you've been given. May God help us to do so for our good and His glory. Lord, this holiness stuff, sometimes it gets tough. Help us to work it out in the everydayness of our conversations and actions, so that day by day we are enjoying with you a deepening relationship, enjoying you more. Keep doing your work in us. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.